بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Someone asked Imam Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali that I've studied, I'm quite educated, and the knowledge that I have, I do practice upon. I apply the knowledge that I do have. I want to know that the thing that people search for by these Buzurgan Adin and Mashaykh, what is it? Because I am educated and learned and I apply that knowledge. Now, all I need to know is that what is it that I need to search at the feet of these Awliya and Buzurgan Adin? So as I explained to him, a deep affinity and love with Allah Ta'ala that will bring about not just a routine ibadat but an addiction. An addiction is something that you can't kick, you can't throw. That's called an addiction. But a routine, you can do it today, tomorrow you can leave it. It's just a routine. It's going through the motions. Some days you can practice it, sometimes you can leave it out. But if it's a deep affinity, the ill, very serious, you should be worried about your business. This payments, this orders, take it out. You're going to do it, you're going to make it happen. So that's called an affinity. Person who is hooked on drugs, then his father's brand new Mercedes, 1 million rand job, he can sell it away for 50,000 rand just to serve his addiction. So that's called an addiction. It's so deep that he doesn't, everything else can break, but he can't break this. So when the addiction with Allah Ta'ala and the affinity with Allah Ta'ala is birthed to that level, then everything can be given up for his sake. Then to give up wealth, to give up your pleasures, to give your comforts, you won't ask why, when, how. One person was here today, so he asked about his profession. Professional person is a graphic designer, right? He gets good jobs. I said, now, for example, I get a job from Milo, right? So I've designed the whole packaging for them. Now, in the packaging will be a picture of a ball or a youngster, and the rest of the Milo tin after that. Now, I have to do the designing. But obviously, that when it's a design and a sketch of a picture, then sketching a picture will also be impermissible. So he says to me, I don't sketch the picture. I just copy the picture and I paste it. I take the picture, put a machine to copy it, and after I've copied it, then I paste it. That's what I do. So I asked him, all right, to make these people understand at their levels. One is just to tell them salam impermissible, that was the right answer, but it doesn't sink in deep to their minds. Say, for example, you are in America, right? And there is a t-shirt that is very popular. Everybody is buying it. And the t-shirt has got the front Taliban, and behind it's got, for example, Bin Laden, the picture, and perhaps Pakistan, an Afghani ragtag soldier, and he shot down an American dead, right? So this is the whole picture, right? So this type of a t-shirt, this type of a logo is very popular. People are buying it. And you got a factory to do and print these t-shirts. Will you take that on? Said, no, obviously not. Why? Then I'm looking for a free trip to Guantanamo Bay. I will never take that on. So I said, now rest. See. When I explain to you that this thing is not permissible, then you want to know why. But when I explain to you about America and that picture, and the picture, you're not the one that is making and designing the picture, you're just cutting it and you're pasting it, or you're just copying it and you're pasting it, right? So their immediate response was, I'll never do this. So what's the reason? What's the difference? He also, right, you are cutting the picture and you're pasting it. He also, you're cutting the picture and you're pasting it. So what's the difference? The difference is that this is illegal. This is terrorism, right? And you know the consequence that will follow, right? And this, what we are talking about, is impermissible. So an act that is impermissible, it's alright. It's an insignificant thing. But a thing that is illegal, that we don't want to get implicated by the law, the legal system, we don't want any implications. But permissibility, impermissibility, is one of those things. Now, where is this coming from? It's coming from this point, that we respect the law of the slave. Slave, maybe he's also a slave, right? The law of the slave, we respect. But the law of the master, we don't respect. Whose law is this? It is their law. It's a law of a slave. But we have got that respect for that slave to that level. It's deep, deep within our hearts. The respect and the awe, their majesty and all that, it's so deep within our hearts, we don't want to get into any problem with that. And the law of Allah Ta'ala, well, if one of those things, we can do it, we'll do it, we can't do it, we say, Allah Ta'ala, maaf about the whole thing, you know, we can't help it now. There, we didn't want to go and cross swords with them, but here, we are crossing swords. So, the problem is that the level of significance, the level of respect, the level of esteem is not in the heart. When the level of esteem is not in the heart, then your response is going to be, well, I can't even make a plan. Something now, make a plan, work out something for us. You know, a little bit of a Sakrats here, but difficulty, make some plan for us. Here you don't want to interfere, but here you want to make a plan. So the bottom line is that we don't have the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that esteem that it is required to be. مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِ They don't hold Allah ta'ala in that level of esteem. So you've got Allah Ta'ala in that level of esteem, then you don't ask any questions. You just do it. He says it and you do it. There is a story of a youngster, 18, 19, 20 years of age, is coming up now. And when you're in that frame of mind, you just want to do things. And you want things to just happen. Press a button, just make it, let it happen. Microwave. That's the type of mentality you have at that age. 19, 20. I want it and I want it. And then unfortunately, these children are brought up in that way, that once they demand something, they must have it straight away. Instant gratification. And you don't give it, then they bring the whole roof down. Right? So you will not blame those children only, you will blame their fathers as well, their parents also. You brought them up in that way, that whatever the demands were, you acceded to the demands. Now they got into that routine. We make a demand, you must give it to us. Otherwise, we'll show you what we'll do to you. So you brought them into that routine. When you brought them to that routine, they must accept that behavior. So you need to accept the blame that you brought them into that routine. Therefore, they are behaving in that way. The nature of the world is not like that. كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَ وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَ They prefer this life. They prefer the things that are immediate. The immediate gratification, they prefer that. But what is the long-term policy? They forget about that. وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةِ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةِ. So you've been doing it, you train your children in that manner, so now they are behaving in that manner. You can blame them, but blame yourself as well. لَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Blame yourself also for this. See? So when the child is trained in that manner, then he's looking for immediate benefits, cash benefits. Whatever is cash, and I want it. Then you bring about those cash problems onto yourself. One person phoned up. He's about 29, 30 years of age. So I'm beautifully set in a marriage, got two beautiful children, beautiful wife, everything is right. Finances are right. But then, you know, the nafs has the better of us. When the nafs has the better of us, then we want additional pleasure. That additional pleasure, we'll not call it zina, we'll call it extramarital relationship. Just to give it a glossy finish, so it may not seem so aggressive. You know, it's called zina, it's looking too hard. Now give it a little bit of a glossy finish so it doesn't look so bad. And you let the listener also just guess. He will think when you talk about an extramarital relationship, you know, he's married not just to one woman, married to two people. Because extramarital, it's a marital, but more marriage. You know, like you say, there's vitamin, it's extra vitamin, right? So there's an extra marriage here. So one is the norm, and you got more than one. So you're not showing it to be zina and fornication. You don't want to say it as it is, you want to cover it up. So now this is where the technology has taken you, progress of technology. You polish words and you have a veneer for the wrong that you are doing, just cover it up. Any wrong that you are doing, just give it a good cover, give it a glossy finish, carry on doing it. Now you won't say that he's going to prison and jail, because that sounds very hard. No, correctional services. For some correctional services he's going. But he's going to jail, he's going to prison, say it, he's going to prison. Why polish it up unnecessarily? What is hard, say it's hard. What is easy, say it's easy. But now, that hard thing, you want to give it a glossy finish, and then you want that person to be miserable afterwards. So he phones up, he says, no, I went into the social media. And one thing led to the other, from the social media, one site, and the second site, and the third site. And this thing has got no age restriction. When the child says, I want to get married, get him married. Because he's being honest to you. And you're going to push it aside. And you're going to shout the child afterwards that why, you know, making this type of demands. But then the hadith is saying, when he comes off of age, right, the match has been found, then don't delay the process. Now look at it, are you fair with yourself? If you're angry with him, do you get angry with yourself? That I am acting against the hadith, am I angry with myself? Am I disappointed with myself? He's making the demands, he wants to get married, otherwise he'll fall into some wrong. So no, let's push it like this, just push it on. Just stretch it. But then the hadith saying, إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيدٌ. You're going to stretch that thing, there's going to be fitna. There's going to be corruption. So no, you've got some problems here, you know. See, we're not holding the Quran and the hadith in esteem. We hold it in esteem, there's no problem. There's something that is greater in our lives than the Quran and the hadith. There's something that is greater than Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we hold in that type of esteem. That everything else we can push down. Even the Quran said we can push down. For our own standards, to maintain our standards, we can push that down as well. So this person is interfering now in the social media, one thing to the other thing, and the third thing. Eventually gets to one side, and the second side, some instant gratification. Then from one thing leads to the other, and he catches up in the Facebook with some girl. And before he knows it, he's already in a relationship. And this girl is hiding things away from him. Around the 7th, 8th month of this relationship, she says, now, your child, you know, he's bubbly here now. Now what do I do? This girl is asking the boy. And people like this. This Indian now, no color. Go for the colored ones. Colored ones, the assorted ones is a little bit more enjoyable. And then we don't realize that assorted ones don't have any shame. The vestige of shame is torn apart. It's like part of their life. Zina, everything goes like you're taking chewing gum. For them it's nothing. It's part of their life. Now she looked attractive, she looked nice, everything, and then caused it, and deliberately she took you in this direction where she carried your child. Deliberately. However she did it, she worked it out. Right? Now you're angry with her why she betrayed you. Why you betrayed Allah Ta'ala, you're not angry about. Why you broke the lines with Allah Ta'ala, that you're not worried about. But why did she betray me? Why did she keep it as a secret? I told her not to do this. I told her to take protection. But she didn't take protection, she misled me. So you're angry about that. But the way you betrayed Allah Ta'ala, you breached the trust with Allah Ta'ala, that you're not angry about. She's one-sided. Isi ko kehte hai kutte ka taqwa. A dog taqwa, but a dog's taqwa. Dog's taqwa is, the thing will lick up its vomit. You see a dog, it vomits, and it licks up. Its waste, its own waste also sometimes it licks up. And if it has to make number two, and to clean itself, it will use its own tongue. It'll go right around, and just brush that with the tongue, get it cleaned. So the number two, it will lick, everything it will lick. But it's so cautious about the urine that it will raise one leg and then urinate. So that it may save itself from the urine splashes. Isko kehte hai kutte ka taqwa. So one thing you become so cautious and so particular, but the other thing you can carry on doing. So we become so cautious about our own esteem, everything else we can sacrifice, but our esteem mustn't be sacrificed. In the Pathan communities, many of them until now, they have that mooch, mustache, long mustache itself. You'll see in Umrah or Hajj, they'll maintain that. So the one child now, he went in Jamaat, and as he went in Jamaat, so he lengthened his beard and took out the mustache. The father said, you better keep the mustache. Otherwise, main tujhe aag kar dunga. Ye humare khandan ki riwayat ke khilaaf hai. If you ever do this, I will ostracize you. This is against our tradition. So the tradition becomes so much that it supersedes the sunnah as well. Everything else can be tolerated, but this, our prestige, our respect, our honor, you must just guard that. So this led him now, he's going to this type of sites, and then he thinks it's a small thing. See where the hadith says, by لِكُلِّ مَلِكٍ حِمًا وَحِمَ اللَّهِ مَحَارِمُهُ. Every king has a private territory, he's got a private property. And the private property of Allah Ta'ala is his limits. The parameters that he has made out, that is his private property. And when it's his private property, he doesn't want you to come there. Al-halalu bayyin. When you say al-halalu bayyin, what it means? It means in the things that you know halal, right, the things that you know of that's halal, they are clear. It doesn't mean the things that Allah Ta'ala has declared is halal is clear. Because if all the things that Allah Ta'ala has declared it to be halal and declared to be haram, everything was clear, then would they be a doubtful area? There wouldn't have been a doubtful area. So the things that people know as halal and people know as haram is clear. Not what Allah Ta'ala has declared. What you know as halal, what you know as haram, that is clear. Right? And in between them, there are some doubtful areas. When you say doubtful areas, what do you mean by doubt? What you mean by doubt is, you got a situation, you got an apparent contradiction. If you look at it from one angle, it seems to be permissible. And you look at it from another angle, it seems to be impermissible. One thing, right? From one angle you're looking at it, it sounds permissible. You look at it from another perspective, it seems to be impermissible. Now, what are you supposed to be doing, right? You using a lift, right? So you, to use a common amenity, right, meant for the people of the flat, it was permissible. From this perspective, you looked at it, was permissible. But then you look from another perspective, that the hadith says that when you have secluded yourself with a girl, then the shaitan is the third person. So from this perspective, it sounds impermissible. From this perspective, it sounds permissible. This perspective, it sounds impermissible. Here, it's my property. I've got a right. I've got the right to use this facility. Right? But if you look at it from a different perspective, it sounds impermissible because the hadith is saying that you don't seclude yourself with a woman. So you see an apparent contradiction. When there's an apparent contradiction, then you call it a doubtful area. Now, in that doubtful area, what are you supposed to be doing? What is supposed to be your behavior? It's one, just one example that I'm explaining today. But now if you extend the same concept, you will find a lot of doubtful areas. Doubtful areas. One thing, and the second thing, and the third thing. You will definitely find these doubtful areas. But just that you have to apply your mind a little bit, and you will find it. See, when these radio stations came out, right? So they came out in a good note, you know, that everybody else has got radio stations, and Muslims also have to have their own station. So at least we can propagate Islam, right? We've got 3 million Muslims in this country here, right? And the broader community, we talk of non-Muslims, they're listening on, and you've got about 50 million people listening to our programs. It'll be a means of dawah, right? Now, when your niyat is not absolutely 100%, then you're going to have problems. Down the line, you're going to have problems. And in the inception, you just started off, and then you say, you know what, it's a legal requirement to have a woman as well in the talk show. In some presentation, you need to have a woman as well. Now, a man is appearing, a woman is appearing. A woman is appearing, and she's appearing with her voice, with the attraction. You cannot say that you don't feel attracted. You will definitely feel attracted. You're listening to that woman's voice, and obviously they have a woman with a smart voice. So it's going to be attractive. They can't have an old, 90-year-old woman there, speaking out there. They're going to have a woman that is going to be an attractive woman with an attractive voice. So it's going to be alluring. It's going to be attracting. In the one end, you could see that the Quran Sharif is saying, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. Don't speak to them in soft tones. Now, you are saying that this is an Islamic radio, it's an Islamic show, alright? It's an Islamic program, she's giving an Islamic bayan. But then her voice is luring and attracting. So the one end it shows it's permissible, the other end shows that, no, boy, this is something wrong. It's not right. So this the proofs are contradicting. If you look at it from one perspective, it sounds permissible. The other perspective, it sounds impermissible. And then in the announcers, you have one person announcing there and says, you know, the best thing I've come across from this morning is a sweet voice, it's your own voice. It's coming out, it's on the air, everybody listening. What Islamic radio. Now all everything becomes Islamic. Everything that haram becomes Islamic. The only thing you have to do is just give an Islamic flavor, an Islamic ethos, Islamic name. Now those listeners that are listening, they all feel that it's permissible now. You are listening to the program, your wife is listening to the program, your children are listening. When all of them are listening, what happens? Then what goes in their mind, the thing that goes in their mind, that they are doing it on the radio, that's a Muslim radio, so therefore it is permissible. If it had it not been permissible, then it would have not been aired like this. Because it is permissible, therefore they're airing it. Now, you see a clear contradiction from the Quranic ayat. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. Don't speak to them in luring voices. Right? Attractive, soft tones, don't speak to them. Right? So that verse of the Quran Sharif is crashed down, is smashed down. Right? So the first thing started all off. Now that thing went up, it gained some momentum. And then said, oh, you know what? Qadianis also are appearing on the television. They have got a program for their own, they got a slot, they got a channel of their own, So the Muslims have to have a channel of their own also. Because if you don't have a channel, how are we going to counter them? So now we got our own channel. When we got our channel, we don't realize all is coming under an Islamic channel, whether it's Qadiani, whether it's Shia, whether it's Muslims, whether it's whatever group, they're all coming under an Islamic banner. Now the normal person, he's not going to say that, I only subscribe to this person. He say everything Islamic, I will listen to it. That's a normal person. There'll be a selected few, very selected, maybe 5% or 6%, that will be very committed. They'll only listen to that which is absolutely 100%. But 95%, so you lost 95% in order to save the 5%. It's not making business sense. In order to save that 5%, you made a 95% loss, incurred a 95% loss. No, it doesn't make business sense. Lost them. So they're going to see, they're going to speculate this program here, that program and that program. And obviously, the rest of the people are there for a show business. They're not there for pure Islam. It's for a show business. And the show business, that person counts who can be most influential and most effective. He can be the best performer. He can present himself best. So he knows, he's understood how people think, how they reason, how they look. You know, when they look at a show, the video, what they want to see. So they've studied all these things here, and they bring it up into the play, and they're presenting it like this. Now you're trying to also design your program like that. Then what have you made? Your deen has become lahwa wa la'ib. Ittakhadhu deenahum la'iba wa lahwa. You made your deen an entertainment and a sports. It's not a deen after now. They made it already into an entertainment. You made your deen into an entertainment. So what's the difference now? So then they went on to the third level, brought that into television under the ban of Islam. Then, see, all this thing, where is it coming from? It must be a source. See, it's coming from Western secularism, right? Materialism and secularism, because they have announced gender equality. When they announce gender equality, then the people that adhere and subscribe to their view, they will push it onto them. You must, otherwise we'll break away from you. So then it wasn't long that every country that was affiliated to any Western country, they also connected. And then they got the Arabs also to do it. Every Arab land now pushed the woman out, let them do work. Gender equality. We need to have some equality in that. So push them out. Right? So you'll find in nearly every Arab country, and you'll find a woman. And unfortunately, in some departments, in Muslim countries, you'll find more women than men. Because woman empowerment, because they were in the reverse now, I put them in front, so equal the score, put them in front. Right? Then you'll have a fifth level. The fifth level will be, for them to be at the workplace, they need to be educated. Otherwise, how are they going to perform? Right? They have to be doctors, they have to be lawyers, they have to be accountants. Then you need to educate them. If you don't educate them, then how are they going to perform? Right? So then, you must encourage them to go to schools, high school, matric, and then university, and then become professional persons. Gee. And then there'll be a beautiful Islam. Now, in the process, what happens? I've got written articles by me. I've got that in Western countries, in approximately every 50 seconds, there's one rape or some woman abuse, some woman harassment, right? Something, some wrong is happening to a woman every 50 seconds. Throughout the world, any place where they have thrown out women into universities, schools, working place, professional women as well. Is not just unprofessional women. Professional women also, they are also guilty of the same crime. Either someone is harassing them, or they are harassing someone. And it goes on. It goes on. And you can't say me it doesn't happen, because I've got personal confessions of women saying me, professional women saying me, that we did it in our surgeries, in our rooms we've done some things. When they come and make toba and all that, then they do all, they say all these things, that we have done it. So you can't say that professionalism is a shield. The hadith says it very clearly, that you want to seclude yourself with a man. A man is going to seclude himself with a woman. Then the next person is Shaitan. So you can't use a defense on Shaitan. Shaitan, you know, I am a professional person. You can't touch me. So Shaitan says, your professionalism, I would be able to attack you more than the normal person. Normal person is a little bit difficult to work with him, but you, I'll knock you down with your professionalism. I'll knock you down. So now, in order for that Muslim woman to be equal to that man, or circular standards, or now we need to have Muslim doctors because we've got Muslim woman that we need to treat. So we need a Muslim gyne, etc. So the altar of Muslims progressing, etc. At the altar of the economy, their progress, we have to sacrifice 99 women to get one woman to be a professional woman. Go and look at, you know, how it works. Statistics, look at it. That from 100 persons, you'll find one person is professional. So you have to sacrifice 99 women to get one woman professional. So izzat is gone, respect is gone, integrity is gone. And you think that she'll ever report to her parents that I've kicked up a relationship with anybody. She'll never going to report that. But it's happening, it's already happening. Where the hadith says that she's going to come out of the house, shaitan will look for ways to seduce her. It must happen. You can't say it can't happen. It happened. The hadith can't be wrong. You can be wrong. Your reasoning can be wrong. But the hadith can't be wrong. So your dear daughter that you have sent out there, she's been interfered. They looked at her, they touched her, they used up. And then eventually now, she's already used up. There was a fight one day. Just one story I'm telling you, right? There was a fight. Man and woman doctor. I had to intervene, right? We had to intervene. So, now both of them are fighting. She's the professional, she's both the doctors, right? And they're fighting. So we intervene, stop the whole thing. So I just want to say you one statement. So we ask the woman, why are you fighting? So she says, you know, he's used me. You know, when we, in that internship, he used me a couple of times. So I'm telling him, when he used me, then why doesn't he marry me? So anyway, we went up to the doctor, the male now. Okay. This is her demand, that you used her while she was in that internship, night hours, 17, 16 hours you have to work, and they give you a small room, you are resting there, and something happened there. So no, I do accept it happened. So why don't you marry her, since you used her, why don't you marry her? So no, she's a loose woman, so I don't want to marry her. She's used and she's loose, so I don't want to marry her. So my question to him was then, but aren't you a loose person as well? Or that looseness only applies to women. If she does it, then it's applicable to her. If you do it, then you're not loose. You do it, you're not used. It only applies to her. Now that's the barakat of gender equality. But you see from where? From what level to what level? And then the tragedy is this, that you have a whole Islamic event in Johannesburg, and at the level, at that high level, you are promoting this. A woman must go to the universities, high schools and all that. Well, it's an excellent thing, and you must make the tarbiyat and send them out. But you forgot all the hadith, all the Quran that's telling her, Fatima, you must stay at home. You are the leader of the woman of Jannah, stay at home. Ali, you must go and work outside. The Quranic ayat, karna fi buyutikunna, you forgot about that. Stay in your home. Telling the woman, man, you go and venture out. That also you forgot. Everything you forgotten. Why? Because your God is different now. Westernism is your God. They say, and they send the woman out, so you must do it also. You know, I seen the early 60s, right? Very early 60s I seen. And respectable women from Hindu community, non-Muslim community, they won't be working. There will be some women that will be working, but not from a respectable home. A little bit of a loose character, loose canon, they'll be working. But respectable women, they won't be out of their homes. Right. So where it started from the whites, they moved on to non-Muslims. Then now it's coming on to us. And that what we are doing, now we're trying to Islamicize it. Whatever the kafir is doing, we need to do it and just give it an Islamic front, Islamic look. then the same things will be aired over the radio, over the television. We say, oh, so-and-so, religious person, righteous person, he knows something about Islam and he's talking about this, so it's permissible. So I come back to the same thing. I told this graphic designer, do you see the haram in this? Now, if anybody tells you, then will you be confused? And I'll be confused. The mind is clear now. So such a big confusion has been created in this type of media, this type of ways, the confusion that is created. So anyway, this person is asking me this question. I started off there, you know. That I've caused it now. She's about the 8th month. And now she is pregnant with my child. What do I do? Can I abort this child? This is his plain. He didn't give me his identity, where he's from, wherever. But this is what has happened now. What do I abort this child? So I asked him, all right. Say, for example, this child was born to your girlfriend, right? She was born. Will you ever meditate? Will you ever think or contemplate on murdering the child? So no. Why? Because it will be a legal offense. Because I'll get legal implications if I don't want to try this. So I ask you, but this murdering this child in the stomach is called abortion. So is this permissible? So it's not permissible, but it's legal, it's alright. So what has happened? See, the slave mentality has gone deep into your mind. The slave mentality. Slave mentality made your mind like a slave. That what the slave says, I will respect, ya boss. So I don't want to cross the lines with you. I don't want to get into any type of legal implication. Legal implication, I don't want. Permissible, impermissible, well, Allah will make maafan. So what has really happened is that you lost the respect for the law of Allah Ta'ala. But that's the worst sin, that you lost the respect, the esteem, the greatness of the law of Allah Ta'ala, that's lost. You can murder the child, but as long as it doesn't go against my name, my reputation, my esteem, doesn't go against it. But that can be destroyed, it's alright. So he's telling me now, well, but you don't understand, you know. I got a wife, I got children, and how disgraced will I appear in their presence? Hey, this child, where it's coming from? And then, when the child grows up a little bit, so the child will be carrying my name. Even if I refuse, she will say, no, that's his child. If I refuse, then they will sue me, they will go for a DNA, take blood samples from me, from this girl here. It will show that, no, it's my child. So when it will show that's my child, then the child will be holding my surname. See, for example, the surname is Moses now, right? So it will hold Moses' surname. But now this child is holding my surname and is in a colored area, for example, right? Or stable now, right? Now they're going to ask the child, all right, you know, hey, why are you carrying this name here? How come you're carrying this name and living here? So number one, my father is from this area here, somewhere else, right? Indian area, whatever. But how this happened? So the child would say, you know, my father in his youth was a very big rascal, you know. Even I did something with my mother and all that, you know, all these things he did. Now, isn't that a pleasant thing, a respectable thing for you? Now, you are grown up, you got 2-3 children, one child lying this side here, and that child, your children are growing up. But what do you did now? Where it went wrong? So he's worried about that disgrace. You see the sin, the nature of sin wants instant gratification, wants it immediate. What's going to happen later on, are you going to be disgraced? Are you going to be humiliated? Are you going to be insulted? You're not worried about. Your children will be disgraced. Hey, but you know, your brother is that schoolman in somewhere there, washable, somewhere is lying there. Your brother, you can't look after that brother of yours. He's not our brother, man. So your brother is called your name. He says, my father is living here. Oh no, they made a mistake. Instant gratification, that's what we want. And whatever happens afterwards, let it happen. But we want instant gratification. So the hadith is saying, see, Allah Pak got his parameters. So you don't come close to those parameters. You will come close to the parameters, then to put on the brakes will be very difficult. Imagine you're driving at 200. 200 you're driving, and there's a car in front of you, just 10 meters away. And you have to apply sudden brakes. Will there be an accident or not? There'll be a different accident, right? Now, in the state of haze, for example, I'm experimenting, rubbing this side with the head and all that, experimenting, one thing leading to the other. Now you joust up at 200. And I say, you joust up at 200, can you put the brakes? So the hadith says, but don't interfere, don't experiment. You're going to be joust up, next moment you're going to crash. So you don't go and experiment. You just hold yourself, hold yours. So what a great lesson this hadith is teaching us, that likulli malikin himan, every king has got a border. And this is divine territory. When it's divine territory, don't cross the territory. You're going to go near that, you're going to crash. Any haram place or haram thing, right? You're going to go there, you're going to experiment the thing, something's going to happen wrong. Around this time of the year, you see all the holidaying taking place, right? And you're going to go at the beach, you know, we're going for a picnic, right? I ask you, can you come back with your chastity? Chastity of the eyes, chastity of the mind. Can you come back with it? You know that you're going to go around this year, you're going to go to these places, then you can't come back with the chastity of the mind, chastity of the heart. As though it is now, in these areas, it is malaria infected. Right? Are you going to take a try? Malaria infected, and malaria is very high. Everybody's going there, they're just dying. Are you going to go that place? So your physical existence, you're so cared about, you don't take a chance. But the spiritual existence, you're not bothered about. Well, we'll go there, make some masti, Allah Pak will make maaf. So the law of Allah Ta'ala is not held in that esteem. That physical self, you're holding that esteem, but the law of Allah Ta'ala is not held in that esteem. See, where bunyadi ghalati, where it's starting of it. So we're talking of this youngster, and this youngster, 18, 19 years of age, right? Experimental, exploring, adventural age. And he's thinking, you know, I need to become wealthy, but instant. With the flick of a finger, I just become wealthy. Now, going through the whole thing, education, becoming a doctor, and earning money, and all that, this long passage, long road, that instant, I need to get there, but I need to get there instantly. So how to get there instantly? Gambling, if I do gambling, then, you know, it's a long thing. Interest also is even longer. But what is the right thing? You know, there's one nawab, one wealthy person living around the corner there. I can see from the electric fence that he's got, and the barbed wires that he's got around, and the CCTV that he's got around, and he's got a security patrol there. So he must be loaded. For having all this type of security, he must be got something inside. Therefore, he's got all the security. Had he had nothing, he wouldn't have had that type of security. Let me go there. So now, as he's coming near the house, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and he feels everybody's asleep. But he's hearing the Nawab and the Begum, the Lord and the lady, they are discussing. The Lord is discussing, you know, our daughter is of age, and we need to settle her. She's about 18, 19 years of age, and we need to get her settled. So the Lord is suggesting, you know, but there is one person there, his security, he's financially secured. So we need to get him as the husband. The wife objects and she says, you know what, that financial security is not enough, because he can be financially secured, but he can be playing around on this media, social media he can be playing around. So our daughter can be there, and she can be stressing around. She can be stressing. Well, this person is doing all this and I can't do anything about it. And I don't want to talk about him because it's his reputation. It's a family reputation now. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to the marriage? So she can't talk about it, but she'll be feeling miserable about the whole thing. She can't express her feelings. She can't vent it. So if you're looking just for the material security, the husband may have the material security, but he may not have the spiritual security. He may not have the deen security. As a result, the daughter of ours will feel miserable wherever she is. Number two, he may be materially secure, but his character, his behavior, is it right? He may insult, he may disgrace, he may behave in an incorrect way. Now she just has to tag along with him because she's in the marriage, and she can't move out of the marriage. And for us to see our daughter divorced, you know, it's an embarrassment, it's a disgrace. So then the Lord, the Nawab, is asking the lady now, alright, then what's your suggestion? What should we do? So she says, you see, the right thing is, the suitable candidate for our daughter is person who's Sahib Ihsan, right? That's the most suitable candidate. Sahib Ihsan, in other words, the person has got the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala with esteem all times. Any given time, but he's got the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, he's got taqwa, he's got the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. So he asked, man, what is that, what is the reason for this preference? Say, if it's that type of a person, he won't hurt. If he's wealthy, he'll enjoy, let her enjoy from the wealth. And if he's not very wealthy, then too he will not hurt her. He will not hurt her emotionally, he will not abuse her, he will not insult her, because he's got the presence of Allah Ta'ala before him at any given time. He knows if he's going to disgrace her, Allah Ta'ala will disgrace him. If he's going to hurt her, he knows that Allah Ta'ala will hurt him. He knows that if he's going to be unjust, then Allah Ta'ala will also be, will be hard against him. He knows about it. So when he's got the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, then whatever life he's got, he will not hurt her. Even if he doesn't have a very serious inclination towards her, then too he won't hurt her. Even he won't even hurt her emotionally. He won't say, you know, you're not looking too attractive. He won't say that, because he knows that there is someone that is observing every statement. So he'll make her feel happy, he'll make her feel comfortable, he will do everything to please her. Why? Because he's got the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. He won't hurt her. So the king says, well, your reasoning sounds very good. See? So some people are like that. Yeah, if you reason with them, make them understand, they're prepared to accept. No matter what position they have. Now they're very wealthy, very influential people. So anyway, this person is listening to the whole conversation and he just had a change of heart. He left all that. He came to plunder and rob. So now he just take a U-turn and moves away. Nice thing for a moon, what do I do? So he thought to himself, he said, the most sensible thing for me to do is to at least pretend to be pious, you know. Pretend to be God-fearing, pretend to be pious. Now, what can I do, you know, to put that plan of piety in place, get that thing running? What do I do? So, right, I need to go on Buzruk, take Biyat Arizan, get to one masjid and start making zikr, tilawat, namaz, etc. I'll do all these things here, then I'll become a little popular. People will talk about it. Okay, you know, in that masjid there, that one masjid there, that masjid, that pious boy there. It's about 10 masjids in the area, but that one masjid, any time you go, he's sitting with the Quran Sharif, he's reading Nafil namaz, in dua, he's crying away, you can see his tears, you know. And then he finished with that, he started off his Hizbul Azam. And he hardly talks to anybody, he doesn't look right, left, just focusing on his job. A very pious person. So my name will come up, when my name will come up, then he will look for a suitable suitor for his daughter. I'll get chucked in, I'll get thrown in. What a simple way, you know. Like this, I'm going to go and plunder, and if I get shot down or something happens, it's going to be a problem. So I'd rather do this, take another path, you know, take another route. Anyway, he took Biyat at someone's hand and he started off. Now, he's getting grooved in. Zikr, Tilawat, Roza. People are talking about him. And then, you seem to be popular and pious. And someone is coming, hey, Hazrat, Khajur, make some tahneek for me. Hazrat, now this child of mine, make dua for him, right? Make dam for this one here. So everybody will start talking about it. You know, he became popular. He's coming in the masjid, hardly talks. You can see some piety on his face. Now things are just working out. People are getting attracted to him. When they're getting attracted to him now the word is going around and eventually it reached up to the Nawab that there is a pious person in this area here. Must be the Abdal of the time, you know. See how well he maintains himself. No talking, no unnecessary things. He must be one of the Abdals here. You will squaw, you know, if you just get him in your house, everything will be solved for you. So the Nawab, he's like the king of the area. He can't go himself. So he'll send his secretary or someone, go do the homework, go do the whole thing, and work it out for me. So the secretary goes out, and he's waiting for 2 hours, no chance. Because the way he's focused to his Quran Sharif, namaz, zikr, he's got his Hizbul Azam, everything coming on. You've got no chance to talk to the person. Anyway, just around a certain time, I saw he snoops up a little bit. So he's rolled up his sleeves. He's going to make wuzu. As he's going to make wuzu, he's en route to the wuzu khana and toilet. He gets it. He says, you know, please, for Allah Pak's sake, just one thing. I know you've got a very, very tight schedule. And I know I'm interrupting, you know. I'm intruding in your relationship with Allah. I know it's a very serious offense that I'm committing. But for the sake of Allah, just one request of yours. Yeah, make it quick now. Make it quick. You know, you're interfering with my whole routine. You're making it. You're interrupting. So he says, this is why I've come here. The Nawab Sahib has sent me to propose for his daughter. Make a proposal to you for his daughter. This is the whole thing. So the youngster cried, you see. He was beard, making zikr, taking the name of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah says, ke khuda ka naam, chahe jitni bhi ghaflat se le, asar kiye bagheer aapko nahi chhodta. The name of Allah Ta'ala you're taking every day, zikr you're making. Right? Initially it may be just a show, your intentions may not be right, but you're doing it diligently. You're doing it how your elders are telling you, right? The sincerity will come in someday. Because it's the name of the pure that you are taking. The name of the greatest that you are taking. The name of Allah Ta'ala, the beloved you are taking. And you can't say that you take his name every day. And it won't permeate your heart. It won't affect your heart. It will affect your heart. But someday or the other it will permeate, it will affect the heart. So the youngster began to cry. And he said, really, no. People have got it wrong. See, this was the person. This is the person. I went with this intention. And this is the conversation I heard. And from this conversation I turned around. Right? And I earned this name of piety after all this check career. Now, let me tell you the truth. See, ye Allah Allah karna, mujhe Allah hi ka bana diya. I was making Allah Allah. This Allah Allah made me Allah's now. No, I'm not interested in all these things. This wealth and this glory and all that. I'm not interested. This glamour, I'm not interested. At a point, I was interested. But now, this making zikr and all that, and the program that the Sheikh took me now, that made me such that I got no interest left. Now, just to complete and conform with the sunnah, one simple poor woman I'll take in marriage, and I'll end my life like this, but I'm not interested in this at all. Don't even make this proposal to me again. Don't repeat this. So what you're talking about is this affinity with Allah Ta'ala. That affinity with Allah Ta'ala becomes to such a point that to make any sacrifice after that becomes a simple thing. To do anything, to get up at night for the Fajr Namaz or for the Tahajjud Namaz is a simple thing. Because that affinity is grown. And you don't want to lose out. Right? To give up something, to take on something, to commit yourself to something, it becomes like a natural process. You can't do without it. It becomes such. So this is that affinity that we are talking of. This is that affinity that Imam Thami Sahib Rahman is talking about. That affinity must grow like that. And if that affinity is not grown to that point, then you still have to work for it. Because when that affinity hasn't grown, then you'll be fluctuating. One day you're committed, one day you're not a committed Muslim. One day you are talking against riba, and one day you say, you know, Allah, you know, constrained. What do we do? How can we help ourselves? So you'll be fluctuating. You won't have a consistent pattern. But if you are on, you are committed, then any sacrifice will mean nothing. Like I say, it's a person that's addicted to a drug. Right? He will sell that Mercedes also for 50,000 rand just to service that addiction of his. So this love of Allah Ta'ala must become to the level of an addiction that everything can be sacrificed for him. Allah Baqtu Fi Nasib.